I mean, it was a classic lone actor attacks, as far as we can tell so far, what we know from the information that has come to light so far. It was an individual who tried to get to Times Square, was stopped at the police checkpoint, as everyone is who wants to enter Times Square during the New Year's celebrations. His back was about to be searched, and he started to attack police officers with a machete, really hit one with a machete, hit another one with the handle of the machete, and wanted to hit another one, who then shot him in the shoulder. The individual is in custody. As far as I understand, he had been known and to the security forces as a radicalizing individual, was also interviewed, and since has expressed further that he wants to join the Taliban in Afghanistan as such, at his hospital bed right now. So classic lone actor attack, one guy trying to do something spectacular, luckily in this case, getting stopped by the police and not getting into anywhere near big crowds of civilians.
Hans, this individual, I believe his name was Trevor Bickford, and he's 19 years old, and he was known to police. I think you said that. What do you draw from, you know, the fact that he is an American, born and raised here, seems, young person, and known to authorities? What do those three data points tell you?
Look, I mean, first of all, these days, lone actors are potentially men, because you cannot have every single individual constantly under observation and surveillance. And even then, as a case in Australia showed last year, you may not be preventing a terror attack of that simplicity, simply a knife, or in this case, a machete that he had in his backpack. But it also showed that, you know, things worked. If you give security to large-scale public events like the New Year's celebrations in Times Square, these do actually prevent these kind of attacks. It also shows that radicalization is a particular problem when it comes to young people or people who have a crisis in their life, as seems to be the case in both cases. In this individual, who, you know, may have even spent the last night before the attack in a homeless shelter in New York, because he really does have some financial problems. And then radicalizing ideologies, whether this in this case Islamist ideology or extreme violent right-wing ideologies, then give orientation to these kind of individuals and makes it much easier for them to radicalize. And it really is important to understand that nowadays, any terroristic success or any big narrative that comes out of terrorist propaganda, whether it's out of Africa or out of Afghanistan or other places, will reverberate around the world. Because, you know, we are an interconnected society. This individual may or may not have looked at a particular ISIL call, Islamic State call to conduct attack over New Year's, but he certainly consumed a lot of radicalizing material online. That is clear.
So one more thing about this suspect, you know, his age. You know, a lot of people, and this is true, I think, young people have trouble, you know, sometimes very well distinguishing between what's right and what's wrong, and sometimes age has a lot to do with it, because of the factors that are that press on young people. And ISIS and terror groups know this. Is that not right?
Yes. I mean, first of all, I would say there are a lot of older people also have a problem distinguishing right and wrong. Just look at the age range on January 6th in front of the Capitol. But obviously, young people are a particular vulnerable target. And terrorist organizations, in particular, those with sophisticated propaganda machines. So that's the big ones. That's the Taliban. That's ISIL. That's Al-Qaeda. That's Hamas, Hezbollah. Have particular propaganda that they really target towards the youth, trying to insinuate in this case that you cannot live as a proper Muslim in a Western society or in a pluralistic democratic society that is somewhat ungodly, and that your only way to God to become a true Muslim is to fight a jihad, an actual jihad, i.e. violence against those societies.
Yeah. So, and you believe that basically ISIS has put out messaging saying something should happen on this day or around this time, and you believe that this individual, as well as others perhaps, took heed to that.
Well, this connection has not yet been established. So it's clear that he had consumed a lot of extreme Islamist material online, and he has said so as well, that he has sympathies for the Islamic State and the Taliban, which is a really peculiar combination in my mind, because they're actually oppositional in Afghanistan. But whether he'd seen this particular ISIS call that they put out for pretty much every major event around the globe, that, you know, true Muslims should do something when this happens, that is yet to be established, that he watched that particular ISIS video. But even if he hadn't seen that, the general message that the Islamic State has put out consistently since 2017 is, do not travel to Iraq or Syria. We need you where you are, and you should, within your capabilities, should do whatever you can. And then there is variations of this where they try to motivate in particular people or small cells to do something, give them guidance, give them instructions on how to do this. But this seems to be the case where they were simply hoping that the message that they put out motivates individuals to come up with something themselves. And this should, you know, it seems to be this was the case here.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director of the Counter-Extremism Project. J.J. Green, WTOP News.